To get in touch about the news of the day, call 866-823-1077. Now, here's Brian Tilton and Bulldog Live.
My sweet Lady Jane, when I see you again, your servant am I.
Indeed.
And will humbly remain.
I'm not Brian Tilton. I am, in fact, your friendly neighborhood little old lady, Susan Olson, sitting in for Brian Tilton again today with this sweet Lady Jane, Jane Cormier. Representative of Belknap County, number 8, Gilmanton, Barnstead, and Alton. And we're going to be talking about all kinds of things today. We've got the legislative session coming up. A lot of the bills have been queued up on the General Court website with their House bill number attached and the text with them. And Representative Cormier, who's a very shy and retiring type, has a couple of bills that may, in fact, cause some controversy. So we're going to be here and talking about that today. And so I want to say welcome, Representative Cormier. And I'm going to call you Jane because you're a dear friend of mine. So good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Susan, Miss Susan. Pleasure to be here.
And can we not hear my mic? Oh, okay. Good. So we're going to be talking about three pieces of legislation in particular. And we're going to start off with one that is near and dear to my heart as a recovering lobbyist. House Bill 1573 that would discontinue something called regional planning commissions and change the manner in which municipal planning representatives are, in fact, placed on their boards. So, first of all, for those of you who don't know anything about regional planning commissions, back in 1969, which sadly I remember very clearly, the New Hampshire State Legislature established regional planning commissions across the state. And the idea of these regional planning commissions was to assist municipalities in certain things, particularly transportation planning. When you think back to the late 60s, early 70s, as New Hampshire was growing and transportation was changing, most small towns are short-staffed, either as an employee or with folks who have subject matter expertise, whether it's planners, whether it's zoning board people, things of that nature. So the idea of the regional planning commissions was actually quite altruistic, believe it or not. If I'll read you, in fact, the language. The purpose of this subdivision shall be to enable municipalities and counties to join in formation of regional planning commissions whose duty it shall be to prepare a coordinated plan for the development of the region, taking into account many things. But something here that will absolutely let you know the time period in which this was legislated. The aforesaid plan shall be made in order to promote the health, safety, morals. Let me say that again. Morals and general welfare of the region and its inhabitants. So, great idea, good idea, thoughtful idea, but here we are 50 years later almost, and they have gone so terribly awry and off the rails that's why we're going to talk about it today. So tell me about your bill.
Well, the bill is actually trying to get back to some sanity that we had in the past with actually state entities and community entities and county entities working together for the good of New Hampshire.
What a concept.
Yeah, what a concept, isn't it? And unfortunately, the RPCs have been taken over by the federal government and overreach terribly.
What do you mean taken over? Have they been made part of the federal government, or what do you mean? I thought they were state political subdivisions.
Yeah, they're supposed to be state political subdivisions, but the federal government has found a way to put its tentacles into every state by enlarging the scope of regional planning commissions in every state. I mean, every state has some sort of regional planning commission. What we have one right now, a program for the Regional Planning Commission in New Hampshire called Granite State Future. And really, Granite State Future is a vessel through which federal money can flow through into our communities with mandated, federal mandated outcomes. For instance, one really important one is to mandate zoning changes, or to try to get zoning changes, to nudging to have zoning changes happen in our communities.
What's wrong with that? What's the matter with zoning changes?
Well, because private property rights are a large, large portion of what New Hampshireites believe in. I mean, that is our liberty at stake here. And when you start having the federal government through this conduit of the New Hampshire RPCs change perhaps what has always been New Hampshire's belief in liberty issues and private property rights, you have a big problem with that one.
Well, you know, when you talk about that, the vessels for federal money flowing into regional planning commissions, originally these regional planning commissions were funded by membership dues. Because mm-hmm. we're a Dillon's Rule state, of mm-hmm. course, cities and towns and political subdivisions can only do what they're legislatively allowed to do. So originally they were funded by voluntary dues mm-hmm. paid by towns right. as a function of population. Now, that changed. Not sure the year. Was it 83 or was it when? But what happened is, for example, I'll look here. I'm in the Central New Hampshire Regional Planning Commission, my little town, and I'm sitting here with their financial statements that ended June 30th of 2012. And what I see here on their revenue side is from the 30 or some odd towns that are members of the Central New Hampshire Regional Planning Commission, the dues were $97,000 and change. So, $3,000 a town mm-hmm. to belong to this Regional Planning Commission. But then I see contract revenue, which is grants, donations, things of that nature, of $457,000. Now,
what again? You're in Southern New Hampshire?
No, I'm in Central.
Central
New Hampshire.
Gotcha.
Yes.
You know what? I can actually break that down for you.
Well, the thing that concerns me more than anything, though, is whenever you wonder about loyalty is a bit of a pejorative term here, but to whom are you listening? You know, do you right. bite the hand that feeds you? So looking here at cities and towns putting up $97,000, mm-hmm. and the salaries and wages for the people work at the Central New Hampshire Regional Planning Commission, this is just salaries and wages, not benefits, mm-hmm. $370,000. So there's no way in the world right. that the dues can even cover their salaries. So they got to go find that money elsewhere.
Right.
And it's federal, right?
And see, there is the scam. And it is a scam. And you know what? They are apoplectic. The Regional Planning Commissions become apoplectic when you actually call it what it is.
Oh, but my goodness.
If you have something that is supposed to be driven as a New Hampshire serving organization or
bottom up,
right, then the money should demonstrate that, right? You follow the money. The money usually tells you the story. And the fact of the matter is in Southern New Hampshire, the Federal Highway Administration has the biggest section of that money, $310,000 in a grant that came through for your, RPC. And your federal grants were $435,000. So the federal grants for your RPC was $435,000. And there are other monies in there that other state agencies will give to your RPC, but they actually get their money, too, from guess who? The federal government. Some of their monies actually come in from
Uncle Sugar.
Right. And so, but then that gets rerouted again. So truly, the only real New Hampshire money, just as you said, in these budgets are the membership dues that come from each community that pays to be part of this.
So If I'm on staff at a regional planning commission,
mm-hmm.
okay, am I going to be more worried about whether or not the grant from Uncle Sugar is coming next year and I'm meeting the requirements of whatever that that a contractual relation might require, mm-hmm. or am I going to answer to the riffraff back in my little town?
Of course,
you know, with the hayseeds in their hair. Yeah. Chances are no. So, you know, in 2010, I think it was, again, when I was still a unfortunate lobbyist in the state of New Hampshire, there was a bill introduced, and I watched the politics of this play out so mm-hmm. oddly. House Bill 1375, and the primary sponsor was Representative Cloutier, mm-hmm. who is, in fact, a Democrat. Mm-hmm. Lovely guy. I got to know him. He's out of Sullivan County. And this bill, all it asked to do was establish a committee to study mm-hmm. regional planning commissions. One of his constituents, a fellow who'd been on a planning board for 4, 5, 6 years at the time, mm-hmm. said, you know what, these guys have been in business since 1969, and nobody's ever looked at them. Mm-hmm. Are they fulfilling their charters? Are they serving their constituents? Is the money being used wisely?
And this was 2010?
This was 2010.
My
and
God.
I sat in there in back in the peanut gallery at the House Committee on Municipal and County Government, and you would have thought that someone had tossed a skunk in the room and closed the door.
Okay.
Because the way that the guys leapt on the, not Representative Cloutier, but his constituent, they, if they could have called him names publicly, they would have, because they made, oh, he's, you know, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's just, you know, he's got an axe to grind, this and that. And the bill never got any further than the committee, and mm-hmm. I don't think that there was any testimony in support of his bill mm-hmm. Except his own. Even Representative Cloutier, God bless him, introduced the bill mm-hmm. and then said, please, I would like to turn the floor over to the actual gentleman who's got the subject matter expertise. So since 1969, okay, mm-hmm. I was a senior in high school then, mm-hmm. from that time till today, they've never been looked at.
Yeah.
They've never been examined. And how can any organization, mm-hmm. I don't care what it is, be absolved from a review
yes.
in that long?
Well, 2010 was also the workforce housing came oh. into being, wasn't it, 2010?
Well, workforce housing had been around, but what happened was there was a court decision that was finally mm-hmm. Issued. It wasn't that workforce housing hadn't been around, but a Supreme Court decision said that cities and towns in New Hampshire, again, because we're Dillon's Rule, mm-hmm. the state can't tell cities and towns to do anything unless they pay for
mm-hmm.
it. So the Supreme Court decision said cities and towns must offer the opportunity.
Right, and that's the key word.
Offer the opportunity mm-hmm. to allow workforce housing to be
right.
built. Now, that's been all twisted around.
Totally.
Totally. And to where the workforce planning people say, you must. It's
right.
a federal mandate. No, it's not a federal mandate.
Right.
There's a federal mandate for equal housing opportunities. There's a Supreme Court decision that said towns must offer, but there's nothing that says you must build, you must allow,
right.
you must.
Right.
So,
and it's interesting, too. Who was the head of that committee?
I
believe it was our – I do know that when – because I'm also on
– Oh, Municipal and County Committee?
Yeah.
Currently?
Yeah.
Oh.
No. When that bill came in, the people that pushed that through – if you don't like workforce housing statutes that are trying to change local zoning laws, then you must remember that it was wonderful Hassan, Governor Hassan, and Marsha Fuller Clark. Those two ladies were the ones that were absolutely instrumental in shoving workforce housing down the throats of New Hampshireites.
Okay. If you hang on for just a second, Representative, we've got Tim from Meredith on the line. Tim, are you there? Maybe I have to pick this up, you know, because I'm kind of a newbie here at the radio. We'll try this. Tim, are you there? Well, you know what? Tim, I'm sorry. Can you hang on for just a second till we get the producer here to get us hooked up? But again, workforce housing is not a mandate. It is not a federal mandate. It is not a state mandate. What is mandated is that the opportunity. So, Tim, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me now?
I sure can hear you now, and please accept my apologies. I am so technologically challenged that it really frightens me from time to time. So what can we do for you, Tim? Good morning.
No problem. It's a pleasure to be on the air. I just wanted to add, you know, or maybe discuss with you guys some other aspects of these regional planning commissions that I think a lot of people don't know. You just touched on the money part, and that's really important. I'm of the belief that, unfortunately, we have to kind of go back to the RSA that created them, which is RSA 36, and it was passed in 1969. And the big issue, I think, with these daggone regional planning commissions is that I think when they started out that they were probably maybe a good idea, and it was probably about sharing fire trucks and things like that. But as Jane said and as you've said, they've now become branch offices of the federal government. And
I like that term. They are maybe a wholly owned subsidiary, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly. And so the biggest thing that I've run into, I've been trying to, you know, uncover, you know, things about the Lakes Region Planning Commission, you know, up here in central New Hampshire. These guys, what I really don't like and is that if you go to one of their public meetings, and once again, this is unfortunately in the RSAs, and I'm hoping you guys can change this or somehow modify it. It's actually written in the statutes that the public has no right to speak at a public meeting of any type. So if you go to one of their public meetings, the chair of the meeting can just say, you're not going to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And they completely conduct the entire meeting, but yet they operate and they tell people out in the real world that, you know, we're open to your ideas.
Sure.
You know, we want to hear from you. Yeah, but you can't talk to these guys.
Well, now, I would find it hard to believe, Tim, forgive me, that it's written in statute that you can't speak. Perhaps there...
No, it is written there. I can prove it to you.
Oh, great. Well, no, that'd be great if you could get that to us, because...
And I have it in their letter. They actually sent me a letter back in the spring where it was in bold type. It said, I actually have the letter in front of me written by Jerry Coogan. It says, the public has no right to speak at a public meeting.
Mom,
now, there's two things in New Hampshire. We have public meetings and we have public hearings. At a public hearing, you are allowed to speak, but at the, at the will of the moderator of the public hearing.
That's
but at
right.
a public meeting, you are not, they do not have to give, they do not have to give you time to speak.
Yes, that's right. And you know what? It's the same in the State House. Tim, you're right. Absolutely. If it's a hearing, they can just brush you right off. It's interesting too, going to an awful lot of these meetings, all over the state. And sometimes they have found that even if they can't shut you up, they'll keep you to 2 minutes. They'll throw it at the end. You get 2 minutes to speak. Well, what the heck can you really say in 2 minutes, right? That's
right.
A good way to shut down discourse as well.
But here's something that's really kind of interesting. If you want to gum up the works, and this is in RSA 36. So they have limited resources. Granted, you know, they're getting hundreds of thousands of dollars from the federal government. But guess what? The statute says that if you or I or any other New Hampshire citizen sends them a question in writing, they must answer it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I propose that we get a group of a couple hundred of us. I'm serious. You know,
do a little crowdsourcing, Tim?
And let's throw some molasses into the machinery.
Let's send them
200 or 300 questions a week.
Well, Jane's got probably a 55-gallon drum of molasses laid out in this House bill, because it would absolutely, as of what,
December
31st,
2014,
they would be eliminated. They would go out of business.
That's what we need to do. We need to get rid of them because they're controlling our lives. If you look at the first paragraph of RSA 36 that created them, and I'm basically creating an RSA 36 for Dummies booklet right now.
Oh, wow, great.
For all of the elected officials here in the state. The regional planning commissions, if you actually just look at what they control every aspect of every New Hampshire citizen's life.
I mean, including their morals, including their morals, Tim, if you read that
RSA.
Inclusion.
Yes.
Yeah. And of course, they're not elected. So I'm going to let you guys go and have some fun for the rest of the show.
Oh, we're having a blast, Tim. Thanks for the call.
Thanks,
and I'll look
Tim.
Forward to receiving Regional Planning Commissions for Dummies.
Yeah,
yes,
we
RSA
could use that.
36 for Dummies.
Hey, Tim, just to give you a little heads up about that, they're really on to what we're doing. Because at a recent meeting two weeks ago, I sat in on that they really have a communications campaign because they need to get the word out because there's been some negative press about what the RPCs are doing. So they're having every RPC do a lunch or a breakfast at the State House. They're going to have a full day of lobbying the legislators, Senate and House, on I forget what the day they called it, but they're going to have a full day as well to talk about how important the RPCs are. So while they sit there and they tell everybody that folks like you and I are kind of kooky right wing boo, they're nervous enough that they're ramping up their propaganda machine to get word out that we're just misinformed and we don't understand. No, we do understand. And we're not going away.
Real quick question. Do you know when this is going to start? Because I would love to have my RSA booklet ready by then, because we need to have that booklet in the hand of every single rep and senator at the State House.
I believe that January is going. I know that when I sat in at the last one, they said that they need to have more exposure on the day of committees for all year. So what does that mean? Legislative on your crossover. Where this is going to start happening where crossover happens is what they said.
The
crossover, I guess, is where they go to the Senate.
Huh.
So when the bills start to come out of the House, right, and they're going to cross over, that's what, when I was sitting in a meeting a couple weeks ago, legislative outreach will happen near crossover.
And so what month is that normally?
That's a good question.
Crossover is usually March or
it's
April.
It's in the spring.
Oh, well, good. Well, I got plenty of time, but it'll only take me a couple of days to finish the booklet. So you're going to
I'll let
you guys know. So have a great day. And
thanks,
you guys
Tim.
Are doing wonderful on radio.
Thank you.
And thanks for the call, Tim. We'll look for others to come in. 866-823-1077. We're going to take a break.
Yeah, we're all talk. News, sports, and current.
It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too, Dave. I'm a liberal.
Oh no. Why?
Liberal elites are the brightest and best people to make decisions for everyone else.
So you think the answer is to give the rich and powerful elites even more power and influence?
Yes.
But I thought Democrats were in favor of empowering the working class?
That was before the working class became anti-intellectual and started voting against their self-interest.
Surely you don't want other people controlling you?
They won't. I forgot to mention, I'm one of the elites.
Are you confident about that?
Yes. Also, Republicans are selfish and greedy, and don't want to help people.
How so?
They want low taxes, so they can keep more money for themselves.
It would be selfish if I only wanted my own taxes to be low.
We're anti-intellectual, and I am, Susan Olson, you're... Friendly neighborhood, little old greedy and anti-intellectual lady, joined here today with Representative Jane Cormier, Belknap, County 8, sitting in for Brian Tilton. Thanks, Brian. We've got two calls on hold. I'm going to have to hang out with you more, Jane. We don't normally get all that many calls. Queued up. We're talking about regional planning commissions. We have Ken, from Wyndham holding. Good morning, Ken, and thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, how are you?
Better than I deserve, as always.
Well, I just wanted to call in. I have a meeting at 11, but I wanted to make sure I took a few minutes to call in and thank both of you for all the work that you've been doing around the state. It's extremely time-consuming, and the message that you're bringing to people to get them informed is so important to preserve whatever liberties and freedoms we have left and to wake people up so that maybe we can get some of our freedoms back.
Well, aren't you nice? What regional planning commission is Wyndham? Do you know?
They moved to the Southern New Hampshire Regional Planning Commission probably about 6 to 7 months ago.
Okay. Have you had any interaction with those folks?
Not too much with the Southern New Hampshire Regional Planning Commission, but with the Rockingham Regional Planning Commission, prior to that, they came in and they did a presentation to explain to our Board of Selectmen you know, that they need to sign a document to get them on board with the Grant Estate Future Program, which is a $100 million program for nationwide for the Sustainable Communities Initiative. It's a federal program.
$100 million?
Run by a DEPA and the DOT. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I find, that I found a little frustrating, quite frustrating actually, is that after that first meeting, our Board of Selectmen, the chairman, said that if it wasn't for a few residents stepping up and asking some questions, concerning questions, that they would have signed it in just a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the document they gave to our selectmen was a 12-page document. It didn't mention anything about the Sustainable Communities Initiative. It mentioned HUD in one place, and they led our selectmen to believe that this was just the same type of thing that they've been doing for our town for the past 20 or 30 years.
Right. Right.
And it wasn't until I brought up HUD that two of our selectmen's heads popped up. Yeah, HUD. And they said, HUD is a part of this? And they said, yeah, but, you know, they're just providing the seed money. This is a grassroots bottom-up program.
There you go.
I love it. It's so true, isn't it?
Well, you know, I'm my background is being sort of an old contract negotiator, and I have to tell you, Ken, that I always believed that it was not my responsibility to educate my opponent, and if they didn't do their homework and if they didn't ask the right questions, then I wasn't obliged to help them out. Is that kind of the modus operandi that you're seeing of these, of at least Rockingham, I guess, when they came in?
Yeah, but you know, we shouldn't be their opponents. We're their customer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they have
capitalistic. Don't say customer. Come on.
Well, you know, in their mind, they're here to serve us.
Indeed.
The problem is that, you know, their philosophy is, a very obnoxious philosophy, is that they're here from the government, mm-hmm. and they're here to help.
Right.
Problem is they want to stick their hands in virtually every aspect of our lives. They've become, in their minds, they're self-proclaimed experts on virtually everything that we do.
Right.
And everything that we do could be better.
So they're the liberal elite? Must. Is that what you're telling me? That we heard on the lead-in?
Yes.
Yes, I would say that, you know, that the people who are behind this program, they think that they know better than us.
Yes.
And it's unfortunate because the role of the RPCs was much different when it first, when the RSA was first passed in, I think it was 69.
Yeah, very different, very different. I just want to point out to our listeners that sustainable development was really voted in at first by an executive order by President Clinton in 1993. We started to get the sustainable development verbiage out there. And the quote is, development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs.
So how does that work?
Well, that's kind of nice and broad, isn't it? And it's such a big umbrella that you could just put just about anything into that umbrella and sell it and try to make people believe that it's for their own good, because the future generations, you know, have to have these resources. And so it was a way in 93 to get it in, to get this sustainable development in. Now, we had 2000 come, and then we had our wonderful Governor Shaheen that shoved sustainable development down the throats of New Hampshireites. Everything from smart meters to rules to
smart growth. Don't forget smart growth.
That was all smart. 2000 was the year for New Hampshire to really take a bad hit with sustainable development. And we should morph now to our own wonderful president.
Well, I tell you what, Ken, thanks for the call. Hang in there. Use your experience from the Rockingham Planning Commission to take on the Southern. Is it the Southern Planning Commission?
Southern New Hampshire.
Southern New Hampshire?
Yeah.
Stay in there and we got you six, man. So thanks. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Ken.
And to you. We have another call on hold, but before we pick that up, just want to say we're at 866-823-1077. Susan Olsen and Jane Cormier are sitting in for Brian Tilton on Bulldog Live. We've got a caller Skip from Guilford. Good morning and Merry Christmas and early Happy New Year.
And the same back to you ladies as well.
Thank you. You're sort of up in Representative Cormier's part of the world,
yeah.
Eh?
That is correct. And yes, I also represent GraniteRock.com.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Yes, one of those rabble rousers.
Oh, my goodness. Well, rabble some rouse for us, or rouse some rabble for us. Skip,
well,
with the regional planning commissions?
I am represented by the Lakes Region Planning Commission.
Yes.
Oh.
And,
that's also Tim who called earlier, right?
Yes.
That is correct.
Okay.
So, and my take on it is, the representative from my town is the DPW head. And, he's a very nice guy, smart guy, and takes care of our roads very, very well. But, part of what these planning commissions do are looking at a whole bunch of things, including economic development, of which there's several organizations that do that in the Lakes region.
Mm-hmm.
So we have more than enough overlap and probably overlap of money being spent for the same purposes. But they are also looking at cable deployment.
Cable deployment?
Yeah.
You mean like cable television deployment?
Cable television, high-speed internet, and all that other stuff. And I keep wondering where I've been in the computer industry for over 40 years. How did he so quickly become more of an expert than I
mm-hmm.
or any of those people on those boards? But right. I guess planners can do everything.
Right.
But I will tell you that in going through the blogosphere or the collection of websites where people put up all kinds of opinions and have news, there's one run by a Randall O'Toole who's part of the Cato Institute called the Anti-Planner, and I've talked to him several times in the past.
Wonderful.
And he's of the opinion that people individually but aggregated will generally make more and better plans for their own decisions than what planners can do, either at the town level or, in this case, a regional area. And he's come up with a number of different areas where people are bitterly fighting this kind of stuff. There's one called the Plan Bay Area for the San Francisco Bay Area, where their big deal is to extend public transportation mm-hmm. into areas where the regional planning commission that's made up of the Metropolitan Transportation Commission and the Association for Bay Area Governments, they are going to decide where people could live
mm-hmm.
and how dense the living areas will be. They all want these walkable communities.
Right. That's the key. That's a really big key phrase.
Well,
communities, because they all think that we all want to live like our parents and grandparents lived back in the big cities where you had to walk everywhere.
Yes, but I don't think they think that we want that. They want it for us. And the irony is they'll stick us into these, like, built-up communities living in stacked houses and tight, dense areas. But you know what? They're going to live out in these wonderful blocks of land away from all of that because they're the entitled elite. You know what? They don't want to have to work and live in those kind of, built communities. It's just a what hypocrisy.
I was in Moscow in 1987 with a group of folks. We were in the mining business, and Russia was the host for this particular visit. We were going to go look at the most modern underground mine in the Soviet Union, and we went to Moscow and we were traipsed around to all of the areas. And boy, they got some stacked up housing there, and. But all the guys who were, in fact, leading our tour lived in what they called dachas out in the countryside. So I'm not a big believer in forcing people to live one on top of the other. However, if they do that, then you tend to be able to control their
right.
behavior and their access to things. So it may sound good, but when I was little, I could always find that pill that my mother put in the spoonful of grape jelly.
Yeah, and that pill is the thing that they want to perpetuate. 2012-2013, New Hampshire Association of Regional Planning Commissions have a document. I don't know if it's on their website, but I pulled this off of something. Legislative policies. You read this two-page thing and your hair will fall out because the sustainability, prosperity, mobility, livability, and their action priorities are all in this.
Skip, can you hang on for just a second? We're going to have to take a quick break here. Can you join us after the break?
I can.
Great. Well, hold on. Susan Olson, Jane Cormier at Brian Bulldog Live. We'll be right back.
When the weather turns bad, tune here for Stormwatch 9 coverage. 1077. The Pulse.
I ran out of gas. I had a flat tire. I didn't have enough money for cab fare. My tux didn't come back from the cleaners. An old friend came in from out of town. Someone stole my car. There was an earthquake. A terrible flood. Locust! It wasn't my fault, I swear to God!
So, a little obfuscation there from Jake Elwood, the Blues Brothers. I'm a big fan. Susan Olson, your friendly neighborhood little old lady, and the Honorable Representative Jane Cormier, Belknap County 8, sitting in for Brian Bulldog Tilton on live here at WTPL this morning. We've got a caller who was kind enough to stay on hold. We're talking regional planning commissions. Skip, are you still there?
I am.
Well, welcome back. Thanks for hanging on. You gotta love the Blues Brothers, right?
Oh, absolutely. Obfuscation. I think it sounds more like liberal terrorism in the face of Obamacare meltdown right now.
Oh my goodness! It's not my fault. I swear to God.
It just happened.
But again, coming up with excuse after excuse for not taking responsibility for things, and like many, many good ideas, in the beginning they are simply that, good ideas and looking to solve problems and make life better. And once they've accomplished their goal, the people that run them all of a sudden find themselves, well, gosh, I may be out of a job, so maybe I need to invent some work here. So I'm thinking maybe regional planning commissions have gone through that evolution now, and they're trying to keep their jobs.
Yep.
Well, I kind of look at them as just older versions of the middle school student hall monitors and plain busybodies, to be honest with you. And, you know, I'm old enough to remember these big hulking buildings that were supposed to be for low-cost housing or for Section 8 housing. And they generally got referred to as the projects, and what were supposed to be the planners' shining moment turned out to be nothing more than crime dens, just badly repaired and maintained buildings. And, you know, now we're getting the treat for all of the millions of dollars that we spent in taxpayer money in little videos showing their slow-motion explosions as they realize that they didn't work, and yet here they are back again thinking they can do this all over again. And, Susan, you mentioned Russia and the big apartment buildings there. You know, Sweden's already gone through this, and they're in the process of demolishing their stuff as well because they realize their planning, and not so much. People just don't like living there.
Isn't Detroit going through the same thing? You know, they're abolishing these places and turning it back into green space because it doesn't solve problems. But, you know, you talk about explosions. You may or may not be aware, if you haven't gone online to read House Bill 1573, if you go all the way to the end, there's this fun little thing called a fiscal note. Do you know what fiscal notes are, Skip?
Yeah, it's how much it's going to cost me to do this.
Well, interestingly enough, when you listen to regional planning commissions in hearings or at their meetings, you would think that people will not survive if they go out of business.
The whole world will fall apart.
The whole world will fall apart. Well, let me tell you something. This fiscal note is a real eye-opener because the fiscal impact, says the Office of Energy and Planning, Department of Environmental Services, New Hampshire Municipal Association, and the New Hampshire Association of Counties, say that, there will be no impact, no fiscal impact. The only impact that doing away with the regional planning commissions will have is that the Office of Energy and Planning, which is a gubernatorial office attached to the executive branch, they say they're going to have to hire two planners when you include their salaries, benefits, and indirect costs of $187,000 starting in fiscal 2015 to fill the gaps that would occur if all regional planning commissions were abolished. Now, interestingly enough, that $187,000 is offset by $100,000 that they don't have to give away in grants anymore. So, in fact, the fiscal impact of abolishing regional planning commissions will be that cities and towns don't have to pay dues anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It won't affect the counties. And the state's going to save $100,000 in grants. So, kind of not a big deal, maybe. What do you think of that?
I think it's a great thing. But here's the other thing to put into this. I mentioned the Plan Bay Area because this is happening all over the country, and that's the name, instead of Granite State Future as it is here, that's the plan for San Francisco. Their plan requires that 192,000 single-family homes are to be destroyed and redone either as green space or for higher densification mm-hmm. housing. What's the fiscal impact on the owners? The families that live in those homes.
They don't care about those families.
Right.
Because the greater good must be served. That's where this all goes wrong. And folks listening have to understand that government, federal government overreach is killing the identity of America as we have known it. These commissions and these Granite State Futures, the RPCs, advisory only, they tell you, and it is not true. They are, federal government is spending our taxpaying dollars to take away our private property rights, our planning and zoning laws, and to change the identity of our own communities. It is wrong.
Yeah, there's a new HUD rule that's about to come out. That will enable, I'm quoting from Powerline blog at this point, new HUD rule will enable the federal government to use its power to create communities of a certain kind, each having what the government deems an appropriate mix of economic, racial, and ethnic diversity, all on the just terrible...
One of them had really great hair, I don't remember which one.
Daryl Hall. Yes.
Man-eaters. That's us. Not really. We're pretty harmless. I'm really very harmless. Jane, maybe not so much.
Oh,
but
my.
It's Susan Olson, your friendly neighborhood little old lady, joined here by the Honorable Jane Cormier, Belknap County 8, Alton, Barnstead, and Gilmanton. And we're sitting in for Brian Tilton today. Having a blast. The time goes so fast. Mm-hmm. And I thought we had all this legislation that we were going to get to, and we're kind of still on the most important. It's not the most important one, but it certainly may be one of the most controversial.
Absolutely.
And it's House Bill 1573 that would eliminate regional planning commissions and change the way that planning members are serving on their local planning boards. So for those folks who are joining us just now, tell us a little bit more about the bill.
Well, 1573 pretty much repeals regional planning commissions in the state of New Hampshire, and it also requires the election of, rather than the appointment, of municipal planning board members.
You mean so they can't stack the deck?
Yeah,
is that what you're
yeah.
saying?
Well, you know what? So much of the government overreach is through stacking the deck, right? Appointments and agency rules. I mean, look at what the EPA is doing. All of these laws that are changing our lives, literally. And none of those rules or laws are being voted in by you or us. You know, the voter. These are just put into law because, you know, some appointed agency or some, you know, non-governmental office decided that we needed to have it.
And they make it sound good.
Yeah, they sure do. That's the whole trick of propaganda, right? It's for your own good. Every single time you hear those words, you ought to stop everything that you're doing.
And also put your hand on your wallet, too. Not just stop what you're doing, but grab your wallet and make sure you know where it is.
In tandem, right, because it's coming. Once that comes, it's all going to fall on your head soon. So I think we're actually at the point where so much has fallen on our heads that we've managed to get our head up out of the muck that they've thrown at us. And now our job is to get enough muck off that we can show some light into how much government has overreached into our communities, into our state. And I maintain that the reason I love New Hampshire, I love New Hampshire because it's an independent kind of state. But the important thing for New Hampshire is that if the federal government is going to run amok, then it's incumbent upon our states to stay strong and independent, because that's the way our government is set up. We're not supposed to be at the bidding of a federal government. We are equal components of it. And if the federal government's overrun with corruption, right, and government overreach, which I think even people sitting on the left side are seeing with Obamacare and all of these other awful things that are constantly in the press about government going bad, then the states need to take up that challenge and be strong and say no. And we've got to make that argument.
Kind of 10th Amendment thing, huh?
Yeah, well.
We've got another caller on the line to join our conversation today. We have Dave from where? Hi. Hey, Dave. Good morning. It is still morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to say great job.
Well, thank you.
First of all, to both of you. And I would say that it's imperative that when this bill comes up, that great attention is paid to the people that try and push an agenda onto the politicians that are about to take votes.
You mean like the New Hampshire Association of Regional Planning Commissions, their advocacy group that's funded with taxpayer dollars?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So it is imperative that attention be paid to who these lobbyists are,
mm-hmm.
and where the money comes from.
Mm-hmm.
If any politician is approached, if they are telephoned, if they are faced with pressure from any outside source, that should be made known.
Mm-hmm.
It should be made known publicly. And these people should be brought out into the daylight,
mm-hmm.
because daylight is the best disinfectant, as we all know.
You're absolutely right. Go ahead.
I just like to say, and immediately after a vote like this, if it goes down, attention must be paid to what deals materialize for these politicians,
mm-hmm.
voted no, that comes shortly thereafter,
absolutely.
If you follow what I'm saying.
Dave, you are so right on the money here. I have to tell you, in doing the research for this bill and in another bill that I'm co-sponsoring for workforce housing, I did some research, and I pulled committee files for the workforce housing. Ironically, just to let you know, in doing the research for the RPCs, all the files disappeared. Okay,
right.
So yeah. Gone.
From the state archives.
Right, gone.
Gone.
So all of, like, who said what in the committee hearings, take a guess, because it's gone.
Let me just say that the powers that are laid against you are tremendous.
Yes, but that's okay.
Almost staggering forces arrayed against us.
That, and you're right, but here's what we're going to do. Here is the plan, Dave, because it's going to take. I'm listening to what you're saying, and you know what? You're right on the money, and we're going to follow along with the guideline of what you're saying. So here we've put through these legislative. We gave some information to the House of Rep, and I've been to the Senate and spoken to people in the House, in the Senate, so they know what we're up against. Some do. Now the bill is going to come up for the committee, okay? In the past, when the workforce housing, we saw from the committee notes in that folder that virtually nobody showed up. That's how workforce housing was thrust upon our state.
Yes.
Because yes. Nobody yes. showed up except their side. When this bill comes up, I'm going to make sure. I write for the Weir's Times as well, and I'm out there pretty much in all the social media stuff. We're going to make sure that the folks show up at that committee hearing, so that when this bill goes to, I'm assuming, municipal.
It'll go to two committees because it's got a fiscal note attached.
That's yeah. right. We're going to make sure we show up and we have our voice, because it might still go down because we have a majority, a left majority in the House, right? But the Senate will be watching to see what the take was, okay, for the committee hearings. The news travels fast in Concord. And if we show up and we have our voice be heard, we're going to be okay for, I think, in the Senate.
Right, and I think it is good to appeal to the left, because there is a disconnect between the extreme left,
mm-hmm.
and the Democrats,
yes.
in New Hampshire.
Yep.
They have to be made aware that the reason why this is bad is because this is an unelected body. It is an undemocratic body,
correct.
which Democrats pride themselves in to have the voice of the people heard.
You're right.
This is not the case with this.
Mm-hmm.
This is common ground. It is common ground that we have between the right or between Republicans and Democrats,
mm-hmm.
moderate Republicans, moderate Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
This is common ground. This is something that is bodes ill will for the country,
mm-hmm.
Because what that says is these forced regional planning committees, basically is what they are, is that the way Americans live is dysfunctional. And
right.
That is not the case. That is such an extreme affront.
Yes.
And
it should be.
Well, they can't control us if we're spread out, if we're all in one place stacked on top of each other without cars and without firearms. You know what? We're easy pickings, Dave.
Right.
So
and it is, like Obamacare, regional planning is about control.
Of course
absolutely.
It is.
It's totally about control.
Yes,
absolutely.
And like I said, continued great work and success.
Thank you, Dave.
And there are a lot of us out here, you know, that are supporting you, everything that you're doing.
Good. We want to see you at the hearings.
Tell
your friends, pack a lunch.
Yeah.
Happy New Year, Dave.
Take care.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
We've got another caller on the line. And this is a caller with an affiliation, Jane, with the New Hampshire Tea Party Coalition. Why in the world would you be calling about regional planning commissions? Good morning.
Hi, Susan and Jane. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
As you know, I have an interest in this. I've been working against this for a long time. And I just wanted to add a couple of things about the importance of town meetings. And the reason town meetings are so important is, as you have mentioned, New Hampshire's Sustainable Development Program is called Granite State Future, and these federal grants come from HUD, DOT, EPA,
mm-hmm.
and along with the money comes requirements that HUD lays out with regard to zoning.
Right.
And they have said they're going to use zoning as a tool to reconfigure our neighborhoods with regard to who can live where and so forth, where you can build.
Mm-hmm.
And they've stated they want to take away local control for this because they want zoning to make even neighborhoods that are too homogeneous with regard to, you know, economic or racial demographics.
Right.
In other words, if your neighborhood is too wealthy appearing, they want to inject some other economic levels there. Or if it's too much of one race, they want to do that artificially
mm-hmm.
by zoning.
Right.
So you've got this social engineering factor going on, and that's what it's about, too, the redistribution of wealth and
absolutely.
So forth. Town meetings are coming up, and I can't emphasize, as you know, I'm also on the board of the Coalition of New Hampshire Taxpayers,
absolutely.
And I can't emphasize the importance enough about town meetings, which people overlook. You never get 100% voting at town meetings, but this is where the decisions are made in New Hampshire to raise your taxes, and it's probably even a more important vote than voting for your federal, you know, officials. And they're coming up between January and April. You have to look on your town's website for deliberative sessions, town meeting in-person mm-hmm. votes, and also, of course, the voting day, whenever it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these changes that are coming from HUD may be presented on the Warren article.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Now,
Bedford
Town Council tried to do this before in Bedford. They wanted to take the decision out of the hands of the voters when it came to zoning changes
yep.
and keep them off the ballot and just in the hands of the town council. And this is dangerous because that means if the Regional Planning Commission came in with one of these schemes
mm-hmm.
and got the planning board or the zoning board or the town council to swallow these changes and the people didn't know what was going on, and as you know as well as I do, most people have no idea what these regional planning commissions are doing,
mm-hmm.
that would mean we would have absolutely no
right.
oversight at
right.
all. As it is now, we have very little oversight. We can, you know, toss those people out every couple of years. But that's the only thing, unless we convince them to reject, like they did in Goffstown,
mm-hmm.
Granite State Future Program.
Right.
You have no right to vote on zoning anymore. How does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So,
well, you know, you can also, Jane, don't forget the opportunity for people to prepare petition warrant articles.
Absolutely.
Which you require, depending upon the number of people in town, 25 signatures typically are a minimum to present a petition warrant article mm-hmm. at town meeting. And if that petition warrant article is signed by the requisite number of folks, it goes on the town warrant. So we tried this in my town last year to do two things. One, to not pay dues to the Central New Hampshire Regional right. Planning Commission. And mm-hmm. and the game was rigged. The vote was rigged. I mean, we know that. And unless you stay until town meeting is over,
right.
You never know what's going to happen. So it's, it's part of this is having the stamina and a packed lunch to stay for the whole thing. But you can direct what happens at town meeting through petition warrant articles. You
right.
can do this. Zoning changes have very specific time frames within which amendments can be proposed and accepted. But if we don't raise the alarm, if we don't get on our horses and play like Paul Revere and alert folks, then unfortunately we end up
rights.
We lose our rights, and increasingly so it's happening. Mm-hmm. So you guys do some great work, Jane, and the information that you make available to folks is really invaluable.
Well, thank you. People can sign up at the website. And I also wanted to plug the Granite State Futures website. Now, that's Granite State Futures with an S.
Mm-hmm.
And there is also a blog there. It's blog.granitestatefutures.org, as well as the www site.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of stuff that goes on in the rest of the country, as Skip said, it's going on everywhere. And there are just examples that you could apply to any town in the country, because this is happening everywhere. Fortunately, we only have this one program, Granite State Future. In Florida, for example,
well,
they
Jane,
have...
Jane, can you hang on for just a second? We're going to have to go to a break here in,
oh, sure.
in just a moment, and we'd love to continue the conversation. Susan Olson, Jane Cormier at 107.7 The Pulse, sitting in for Brian.
What a lineup. What a team. Locally owned and operated by the Great Eastern Radio Group, The Pulse.
I love that song. I was looking at music to help us have a little fun here today. I saw the black and white video that,
really?
That Natalie Cole did for that.
Nice.
Man,
okay.
Man, she was great. So, yeah, we're a couple of wild women here. Susan Olson and Jane Cormier, the Honorable Jane Cormier from Belknap County District 8. We have another not-so-wild woman, but elegant, refined, delightful woman on the phone with us, Jane, from the New Hampshire Tea Party Coalition.
Oh, thank you, Susan.
You can be a wild woman if you want to. But
I think I am in my own way.
Well, we have secret Dakota rings. We'll send you one.
Well, 15 years ago, I could not get anybody interested in this issue. But I have to thank all the great people, there's too many of them to name, that have come together and helped get the word out in one way or another, and especially Jane for doing the work in the legislature, because people just do not know about this issue. It hasn't hit them in the pocketbook yet. It hasn't hit them in the property rights yet. But I remember back in 2005 when we had a regional planning commission member who was also a town councilor put in a bill that said regional planning commissions would take control of my private well on my private property.
Hmm.
And I will never forget that. And we came together and went there to the hearing, and we knocked that right down.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the kind of thing that will be coming, and people won't know what hit them if they don't do something
yeah.
about it.
You know, Jane, to speak to that, I don't blame people for not knowing about this, because the left really has gone out of their way to put language out there that makes this seem innocuous and good and all of that other you know, nice stuff. But the facts bear out the truth, and now we're getting the facts out. We're getting real traction on this. You know, all that work that you have done, that Ken Eyring has done, it's starting to really have fruition here because people are starting to wake up. We just needed to shine the light because it's dirty business that's happening right now, and it's against our liberty rights and our rights of, you know, individual property. And I think in the end, you know, it might not be this bill, but it's coming. I think people are starting to wake up.
It is absolutely.
I mean, just using their own words, taking a lot of quotes from their literature that say they would prefer regional control rather than local boundaries, because after all, local people will only do what's good for themselves. Hello, isn't that the way it's supposed to work?
Absolutely.
And everything is local. And there is some hope, because in Florida, we're in contact with everyone all over the country to share ideas. And in Florida, they have some great people working on this.
Yes.
And they have several plans down there. One of them is called 750. And it was a plan to merge and control seven counties. But now, I guess they're going to have to call it 450, because three counties have rejected it outright. There was one wonderful woman who is a retired airline pilot named Phyllis Pry, and I'm in contact with her, and she has spoken a lot on videos, which you can see. And these people understand perfectly what this would mean for them. But as I said, you just take their own literature, their own quotes, their own plans and goals, and highlight them.
I like
them
to call it beating
like
them with their own sticks.
Exactly.
You know, Jane, I could sit here and we could sit here and listen and chat for the whole rest of the day and maybe the whole rest of this year, but we're going to have to be wrapping up here in just a minute. Please keep up the work. Get the all call out when this bill is scheduled for its first hearing. We need folks to show up, and we need to let them know that we have an opportunity to change this and to take back our state and our communities. Mm-hmm. So, Jane, legislature reconvenes when?
January 8th.
January 8th. So you got a new outfit?
No.
No, neither do I. Neither do I. But listening to our lead-in commercial talking about sparkly things, I might get some bling for my 22 long rifle, you know, check it out a little bit. I got
baby,
on my
go
own.
Go for it. I love it.
So I want to take a moment also to thank Brian Tilton and WTPL for having such a great sense of humor and letting me come in twice with two extraordinary women. Jen Coffey and Jane Cormier. Isn't that interesting? You have the same initials.
Yes, huh?
I didn't think about that. But this is a wonderful opportunity. Brian is so informed and so articulate and does carry the flag for so many.